This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Taking a look at some 2021 sleepers. Today on the show, we're going to talk about two quarterbacks, two tight ends, four running backs, four wide receivers. We've got three New Orleans Saints. We've got two Tampa Bay Bucks, two Indianapolis Colts, and one from various other teams. And we've got one Dave Richard and one Heath Cummings. Hey, Heath, second podcast of the day. This one, of course, airing on Tuesday, recording on Monday. Did you change your shirt from the first one?
Yeah. I've got a pretty good routine now where I shower in between pods on two pod days because I put in so much work for the first pod that I need a shower.
TMI.
No, that's all right. I also showered but did not change. I just put the same clothes right back on. So I don't know. Is that gross?
You all TMI.
I don't think it's not gross to put like the same pants on. Assuming that you wear something under your pants.
I mean, I only had the shirt on for a few hours, so yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I'm good. I sweat shirts up pretty quick.
Nah, not me. So anyway, I'm going to ask you guys for your favorite sleeper. However, I realized our intro needs a little work. This is fantasy. It's good. I like it. It's exciting. It's professional. But I think we need to skew younger. You know, we need to go for a younger demographic. So I had our youngest fan record an intro. I had it. Yeah, right. Like he just did it himself with his dad. This is a kid named Luke. He is 4 years old, and he took a crack at our intro. So tell me what you guys think of the new intro for Fantasy Football Today.
This is Fantasy Football
League
from CBS
Sports. Yeah.
Pretty great.
That's fantastic.
It was so cool.
Hire that kid.
His dad emailed me and said, my four-year-old loves the show. I think he said that.
And I want to give you a little bit of credit, Adam, because people think that you, like, your ego gets in the way sometimes. And the fact that you didn't change the octave of his voice to make it higher than yours was really impressive. You were okay with that four-year-old having a deeper voice than you.
Yeah.
And good job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I set myself up for ridicule with my helium tweet the other day.
Yes.
Didn't even think about it.
I enjoyed the comments on that one.
I said, do parents still let their kids inhale helium? Because that was a big part of my childhood. And yeah, I could tell. Oh, you haven't stopped. All those things. all right, guys. Who's your favorite sleeper? Dave, why don't you kick it off?
My favorite sleeper as of right now is Adam Trautman, tight end of the New Orleans Saints. I think he's got a path to seeing some pretty good target share. The track record of touchdowns for tight ends in New Orleans has been really good over the last two seasons, 21 touchdowns to tight ends in 2019 and 2020. And I love the way that Trautman played last year as a rookie, and I really don't see how his role doesn't grow in his second season.
Okay. He only played one game with Jared Cook. Didn't have a catch. I think he left with an injury, so nothing to go off of there. Jared Cook had 16 touchdown catches in the last two seasons, so that's encouraging. Would you rather have Adam Trautman, I'm going to ask you this, or Irv Smith?
I'd rather have Irv Smith, but there's a part of me that wants to draft both of them. And I know it's not ideal to draft two tight ends, but if you're going to try and find a tight end that's got some serious upside, go for getting two of them. Your worst case scenario is you cut both and you stream the position. A good scenario is one of them pans out for your team. Actually, that would be a great scenario. But an all-star, mega, super-duper scenario is that both of them take off and you can trade one of them for something else to help your team along the way. And both of them are going to come in draft picks round 8+, in the case of Irv Smith. Round 10 plus, if not 12 plus, in the case of Trautman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And by the way, Schrager, you can go ahead and throw that tweet back up there. If you're watching youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday.
Yeah, I'll get it back up in a second.
All right, let's go to Heath. Heath, who's your favorite sleeper?
I think I'm going to have to go with Devin Singletary, and I think this is going to become one of those guys that everybody gets tired of hearing Heath make the same case over and over for, but I've just not really heard anyone refute it. I didn't see any indication last year that Zach Moss is better than Devin Singletary at really anything. The team trusted him more in short yardage, so that was something. But Singletary has now played 2 years in the NFL. He's averaged 4.8 yards per carry, YPC for life. He was more involved in the passing game than Zach Moss was. And he was, by just about any measurement, better in terms of on a per carry and per reception and per target and per game basis. And Moss gets drafted in round 8 or round 9 of a lot of our drafts. And Devin Singletary is there in round 11 or round 12. I think his ADP right now is at the very end of round 11. It's pretty sweet if you get a guy that's like worst case scenario, 40% chance of being the starting running back in round 11 or round 12.
1.1 PPR points per game better than Zach Moss was last year. And I think that's just kind of proof of everything that you were saying about how Singletary was better by pretty much every measure. I think the one thing that turns off fantasy managers is that the Bills don't seem to be a team that's ready to run the football even 350 times a year. It's going to be Josh Allen, or at least with their running backs anyway. Josh Allen's still going to have a big chunk of this offense, as he should. And so you're drafting a running back who's going to split a limited amount of touches and may not get much work near the goal line reflected in his final stats. So I get why there's like hesitancy to draft Singletary, but I think Moss kind of falls into the same argument. Like it's hard to make an argument for Moss. So why should Moss go several rounds out of Singletary? Singletary seems to be the better value. And if Moss gets hurt, which he's been known to do, then Singletary figures to be the primary back, and fantasy managers would absolutely be happy to draft Devin Singletary or to have him in their lineups anyway, if there's no Zach Moss on the field.
All right, I'll take the bait, Heath. I've got some comments here in favor of Zach Moss. So, but first of all, who do you take first? Who do you rank?
I don't ever draft Devin Singletary until after Zach Moss has been drafted. Because why would I?
Well, who do you like better? Who do you rank higher?
Singletary.
Okay. So I it just comes down to this. I didn't really notice this until this afternoon while I was, you know, getting ready for the show. In week 13, they gave Devin Singletary 18 carries. He had 61 yards. He had a bad game in that respect at San Francisco. The last four regular season games.
They gave him 18 carries.
Yeah,
okay.
18 for 61. In the last four regular season games, he had 28 catches, Singletary, 28 carries and 7 catches. Moss had 41 carries. And then in the first game of the playoffs, Moss had 7 carries and 4 catches before he left with an injury. Devin Singletary, up to that point, had two carries and 1 catch. So I think they may have been tipping their hand there, that they like Moss better. They were using him down the stretch and in the playoffs in the one game that Moss was healthy and Moss hurt his ankle. And he had two, like Dave already said, he had two injuries last year, so that stinks for him. The other thing is, it's 2 years in a row now where they won't use Singletary inside the 5-yard line. 2 years ago, it was Gore who led the team. And then last year, it was Allen.
Allen who picked up the slack for Gore when Gore couldn't get the job
done.
Yeah,
but it was Gore with 11 inside the 5, 11 carries, Allen with 5, Singletary with 2, and then last year it was Allen with 9, Moss with 8, Singletary with 5, and I would bet that some of those 5 came when Moss wasn't playing. So
right, weeks 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
Which so that, two of those games Singletary did very well in.
Yeah, so I think it's justified to take Moss over Singletary. And
I think in those last four games that Zach Moss took over as the lead back, he also had 2 catches in the regular season.
I don't really think either of them going to have a ton of catches. It's not, you know, it's not really part of their game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Singletary had 38 last year. That's not nothing.
He had 16 of them in the first four games of the season. And two of those games, Zach Moss didn't play, and he had like 9 catches in those games. They both are pretty uninvolved in the passing game, I'd say. That with each 2 years in a row, the running backs have had, what, 65, 70 catches?
I don't like saying they were both pretty uninvolved in the passing game.
They were.
As a thing against Devin Singletary, when Singletary had almost like three times as many targets.
Yeah, but it was,
like, there's a big difference between 3.5 targets a game and 1 target a game.
If you're not going to score any touch, if you're not going to score any rushing touchdowns, you didn't have a lot more than 38 catches. And like I said, 16 of them came in the first 4 games. 2 of those games without Zach Moss. So
there were plenty of opportunities to play without Zach Moss because he couldn't stay on the field.
All right. Don't take this out on Zach Moss, Heath.
Well, I think you're like, I understand you're doing a good job playing devil's advocate and you got me a little bit.
Well, I wasn't trying to get you. I was just
I'm saying you got me riled up a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, I was trying to do that.
Right. I just like maybe that 3 yards per carry that Zach Moss was giving him down the stretch is what they're looking for.
All right, for the season, don't even with that, because for the season they had the same yards per carry, 4.3 to 4.4.
That's not the same.
Okay, it's basically the same.
Okay.
And what Devin Singletary did the year before just doesn't really matter because he was a rookie.
Zach Moss wasn't on the team that year. I don't know what Moss would have done in that situation.
I would bet that this is going to end up being a who's available from week to week and who's playing well from game to game thing. Where if Moss gets out of the gate in the first half and plays well, okay, he's going to finish the game leading the way for Buffalo in touches. Vice versa if it's Singletary. I don't think they're committed to either back in most way, shapes, or forms.
All right. Well, look, it took me about 6 minutes to get Heath riled up, so I consider that a win.
And just bad faith arguments really get under my skin.
Bad faith? I thought those were very valid points. All right, Stragger, let's see some of our favorite replies to the tweet. Can we do that now? YouTube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. I'm killing time here. I'll promote a few things. We're going to be live tonight, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern with Ben Gretsch, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. We're doing a PPR mock draft, 7 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday night. Come and join us. Subscribe to the channel, and you'll know when we're live. You'll get the notification, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. All right. I'm having trouble seeing here. It stayed with you, apparently. Okay, you're right. So I said, do parents still let their kids inhale helium and get the high-pitched voice? That was a big part of my childhood. And somebody, just your childhood? I like that. What else we got, Schrager?
Dave, really, do you have any more DJ Chark stories?
All right, fine. This segment didn't work. News and notes. Jamison Crowder reworked his contract. He's back with the Jets. So does this dampen any enthusiasm you may have had for Elijah Moore?
It hurts. And really what it does is it hurts the entire Jets passing game because there's a lot of interesting talent that they've got on the team. And I don't know if there's any one guy that you can point to and say, that's the best one. That's the guy who's going to get 70 catches.
It sounds like you could make
the case for so many of them, couldn't you, Heath? Couldn't you make the case for literally at least three?
I think the one that it's difficult to make a case for after the past couple of weeks is Denzel Mims. He was a guy who I'm still intrigued about, but it sounds like Keelan Cole is playing ahead of Denzel Mims in OTAs. And obviously they just gave Corey Davis money and they just spent a draft pick on Elijah Moore and they just decided not to cut Jamison Crowder. Denzel Mims might just be a backup wide receiver.
I just feel like there's some pun that we can do with his name, like a Heath pun, like more like Denzel Slims. I know there's something there. We'll get it. Okay. Cam Newton is back from his hand injury. More like Can Newton. And Trevor Lawrence has a hamstring injury. So they're trying to avoid a serious injury for Trevor Lawrence, and they're taking it very slowly with him. And you want him to get as many reps as possible. So hopefully he'll be good to go for training camp in July. But right now, rookie quarterback Trevor Lawrence dealing with a hammy. All right, more sleepers. So, Dave, you gave us Adam Trautman. And how about a quarterback, Trey Lance? Another rookie.
Trevor Lance.
Trey Lance, 169th overall right now. Do you think there's more than just like a long shot chance that he's realistic? Is there a realistic chance that he's the week one starter?
I think there's a realistic chance. I wouldn't say it's like 50%, but they just traded up a ton of picks to go and get this guy. I'm sure they'd love to use him as an every down player for their offense once they're comfortable giving it to him. And it's just a matter of how soon they get comfortable. It's a matter of how soon he's comfortable. This is a guy who was tearing apart defenses for a year at the FCS level. He won their version of the Heisman as a freshman. And he's got a strong arm, good working knowledge of what a pro offense is. And I'm pretty sure he's adapted nicely to what the 49ers are doing, or at least I think he will. And he runs. He can run like the wind. Mm-hmm. He can put up plenty of yards. He had, 150 yards and two touchdowns in his only game in 2020? They only played him in one game because, hashtag COVID. But he can run, and he's big, and he's got a strong arm. Accuracy isn't perfect, but it's something that can be improved upon. Josh Allen proved that, and I think the 49ers are going to try and work on that with Lance. At the very least, they can scheme him up. And he's kind of savvy, too, when he's got to play. There was a play in college. He did this multiple times. He's running out of the pocket, and he like pump fakes to get the defender to roll off of his coverage and to attack Lance because they think Lance is going to run the ball. And then Lance just flicks it over the defender's head and into the wide open hands of a receiver downfield for a big play. He's got that type of dynamic ability to him. And I think for a game like fantasy football where stats matter, he can give you a lot. So if it's a matter of just getting this guy and putting him on my bench and seeing how the season begins, or if I've got deep benches and I can carry him all year, more than happy to do it. I think he could end up being a difference maker if given the opportunity as soon as 2021.
Okay.
I think it's interesting to contrast him with Taysom Hill.
Heath sleeper at quarterback and Taysom right. Hill.
And I like
going,
this call too, by the way.
Because
Taysom Hill's going like 60 picks later or 50 picks later.
They're both athletic quarterbacks who I think we can be equally uncertain about how ready they are to currently be NFL quarterbacks. Both of them, their coaching staffs absolutely love them. And we've already seen from Taysom Hill over a 3 or 4 game stretch what he can do as the starting quarterback. Now, he's got to beat out Jameis Winston. Trey Lance has got to beat out Jimmy Garoppolo. But Hill has shown us that he can be a top 12 quarterback pretty easy. And he's being drafted as if that's not really even a possibility.
So
he's
let me
being
ask
drafted
you this.
Like Jameis Winston's already been named the starter.
Yes.
It's a little strange. And by the way, if you read Jason Lockenfora's latest column, I'm trying to get the exact quote, but he's basically just assuming that he wrote all about Jameis Winston. And his assumption is that Jameis Winston is going to be the starting quarterback. So it's weird, I think, to put a quarterback on your bench who just doesn't play, right? We haven't had a ton of situations like that, I feel, where we're just stashing a quarterback in the hopes that he will play. And I'm wondering if you're willing to do that. You know, Dave, you talked about that with Lance, but Heath, are you willing to do that with Taysom Hill if he doesn't win the job and you're just waiting for Jameis Winston to implode?
I don't. Well, I mean, when we're talking about June sleepers, we're not talking about that scenario.
Oh, I'm asking you about that scenario. Let's say Winston wins the job.
He will not be on my sleeper list if he's a backup quarterback. No.
Okay. Because, Winston could easily lose the job.
Oh, for sure. And then yeah. I would pick, then he'd be a waiver wire claim. But no, I'm not probably going to roster him in a one quarterback league. I'll roster a backup that's playing.
How many bench spots do you have? If it's a one quarterback league and you've got 7, 8 more bench spots, maybe it's a keeper league that's a one quarterback league. Well, if it's a keeper league, obviously that changes the dynamic. But if you've got deep bench spots and maybe with leagues starting to use IR spots more often, maybe one opens up that way. These quarterbacks are exactly the type of players that you wouldn't mind stashing just for the short term to see what happens. Garoppolo gets hurt all the time. Jameis, if he has a 3-interception game, that could be the end of it. I can't imagine either quarterback, Garoppolo or Winston, have long leashes that keep, certainly they keep Lance at bay, but Taysom Hill is going to take snaps away from Jameis Winston. If he took snaps away from Drew Brees, he's going to take snaps away from Jameis Winston.
I'm rooting for Winston. So much more. I mean, I'm rooting for Taysom Hill. He's so much more fun. I'm so intrigued by him. Let's see what happens. Go Taysom. Okay, let's get some more sleepers here. How about Heath? How about your tight end? Dave gave us Adam Trautman. Your tight end sleeper is?
Yeah, and this is another one where I think I've tweeted about it a lot this offseason, but O.J. Howard Another guy with an ADP on NFC outside of the top 200. It sounds like he's getting back to full health. And he was pretty strongly outperforming Rob Gronkowski until he was injured last year. And you look at where these two players are at their stage, the stage of their career, and what Howard's incredible efficiency has been whenever he's gotten targets. And I just think that, like, there's no guarantee at all that Rob Gronkowski is the best tight end for the Buccaneers. In fact, if you told me at the start of camp that Howard was 100% healthy, I would bet on Howard.
He had at least 7 PPR points in 3 of his first 4 games. He had one game with 14 PPR points, another one with 13 PPR points. So he was getting some good action in that offense.
Yeah. Put it in context, though. Let's say Howard is the best tight end. Is there any chance he's actually good enough to be a starter? You know, anything more than just, okay, top 12, whatever. But an impactful player, because just with Godwin and Evans and Antonio Brown, it's hard, right?
And Gronk.
Well, it's not easy, but that... Those 4 games last year, week 4, and I don't know what point of the game he left, but he only played 37% of the snaps. And in those first 4 games, he had 19 targets already. If you're telling me that O.J. Howard's getting 5 targets a game in that offense... No,
but that was before Antonio Brown.
And Godwin might have been hurt in that 4th game.
Well, Howard was hurt in that 4th game as well.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if Godwin played in week 4. I have to go back and look.
I mean, they threw the ball to Rob Gronkowski and Cameron Brake quite a bit in the second half last year.
Godwin missed weeks 2 and 4 and Thank 5 you. And 8.
I would bet one of Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, and Rob Gronkowski missed time this year as well.
Right. Okay.
And it may be Howard. But yeah, he's one of the most efficient tight ends we've ever seen in the NFL. So the target bar for him is much lower than everyone else.
You said efficient or talented?
Efficient.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I would agree with both of them.
I think you at one time said he was the most talented tight end in football, which
I don't think I said that.
Been proven.
I definitely
did
not say that.
Very, very wrong.
I did not say that.
Shouldn't we root for a trade here? Not that the Bucs have any reason to do it, unless they get a crazy offer for OJ Howard. And I don't think a team's going to bang down their door for him, but maybe he just falls out of favor a little bit in camp, and a team that needs a tight end desperately steps up for OJ Howard. And then he's in an opportunity where we can feel a lot better about his target share from week to week.
Okay, Trey would be fun for sure. And running backs. All right, let's get some running back sleepers. Dave, who you got?
I've got James Conner and I've got Gus Edwards. And I'm kind of lukewarm on Gus because he's never been, especially in PPR, he's never been great on a consistent basis. He's just an efficient running back that's going to get you right around 9 to 10 carries a week, and maybe that leads to 40-50 yards. He can be a placeholder for you at running back. He's an okay zero RB target and someone that you can just grab in those later rounds just to have his bench depth and use in a pinch. And if he finds his way into the end zone, look, he was actually great in short yardage situations last year, but J.K. Dobbins didn't miss from 3 yards or closer. He was 100% when it came to scoring short yardage touchdowns. So I'm not sure if Gus is going to claim that role. They're going to split it. And I feel like when it comes to just getting a running back that carries nominal value as a bench running back and has crazy high upside in the event that the starter in front of him misses time, he fits that. He can do that. And it won't cost you much in a pick. Connor is probably in line to see maybe around a dozen carries a game. But if he's replacing Kenyon Drake, that means he's the north-south runner in this offense, should be in line for short yardage situations. He's also been good in short yardage and goal line carries over the balance of his career. He can catch the ball a little bit too. He's had a few seasons with over 30 receptions. But I think that role will go to Chase Edmonds. There's a lot of talk about Chase Edmonds being the feature back in this offense. I think there's a reason why he hasn't really had that opportunity other than in spot starts over the last couple of seasons. He will probably be... I think it's going to end up being most weeks like maybe 55-45 in favor of Edmonds, but there will probably be some weeks where Arizona's got a lead and they'll hammer it with Connor. They seem to really like Connor for his downhill physical rushing style, and there will be touchdowns available to him, and you can get him in the late rounds. Another good zero RB target.
I would see his ADP at 108th overall. It just surprises
That's
me for James Conner. But yeah, I just that hasn't been the case in our drafts. I've been drafting him, but I know that he wouldn't last to round nine. At least I don't think he would. Would you guys rather have a Bills running back or James Conner?
Conner.
I think I'd feel better with Conner. I might have Moss ranked like one or two spots ahead of him right now. Mm-hmm. If there's a Bills running back that I feel comfortable with for the long term, obviously I'll take him ahead of Conner. But if I can't tell them between heads and tails, then maybe Conner's the right answer.
Okay, how about in a PPR league, would you rather have James White or James Conner?
Conner.
I currently have White ahead.
Let's compare Gus Edwards, who was one of Dave's running back sleepers, to Latavius Murray, who was one of Heath's running back sleepers. They had right around the same amount of carries last year. Murray had 146. Edwards had 144. Murray had 23 catches. Edwards had not even close to that, nine.
No.
But Edwards was better. He scored, I think he was better, right? They were close, but I'm pretty sure he was a little bit better.
In PPR points per game, Latavius was better. Okay. Latavius was at 8.1. And Gus was 7.4.
Okay. Non-PPR, I believe Gus Edwards was better. But either way, Heath, so yeah, Gus Edwards or Latavius Murray, do you basically consider them to be the same?
No, because I think that difference in catches is a difference in value in a PPR league. So I prefer Latavius Murray because he's going to catch 15 or 20 more passes than Gus Edwards. And I think it's more likely if something happens to Alvin Kamara that Latavius Murray gets a workhorse role than it is for Gus Edwards. I think if something happens to J.K. Dobbins, then Gus Edwards is probably sharing with Justice Hill or Todd Gurley. We'll see how that turns out, but
please don't even speak that into existence.
Well, you know, we had the big DeAndre Swift freak out over Todd Gurley. We should have an equal one with J.K. Dobbins. I just, everything Dave said about Gus Edwards is basically true about Latavius Murray. He's slightly less efficient as a runner, but he's going to catch 20 to 30 passes. He's a little bit better in that regard. And we saw him run for 124 yards and two touchdowns without Kamara once last week. I mean, if something happens to Alvin Kamara in the first quarter of the season, Latavius Murray may have the highest win rate for any player in fantasy football this year.
Mm-hmm. If these guys, if the starting running backs don't get hurt, I struggle with Murray. I mean, I think you probably would disagree, but I feel like they're kind of useless. I really feel like Edwards and Murray are just handcuffs.
Well, if you were stuck one week, say you're running back, you've got Christian McCaffrey and he misses a game, okay, birth of a child, something like that. These are the two running backs on your bench. Say they both have solid matchups. Which one do you go with in a half PPR? You might
Edwards.
Lean Latavius just because of the receiving.
But the reason I'd go Edwards is something that you don't know if it's going to translate, but you know, from year to year. But last year he had more than seven PPR fantasy points, which is not good. Gus Edwards had more than seven PPR fantasy points in nine games, and Latavius Murray had more than seven PPR fantasy points in five games. I mean, that's awful. You don't need somebody on your team who's got five games all year with more than seven PPR fantasy points. He's a handcuff, and a really good one at that. That's how I see it.
Sure, they both are. At the very least, Gus should be able to give you 50 yards.
Yeah, but right, but no catches, maybe one catch.
He's averaged a half score per game over his career.
And while Edwards did have a number of games with more than seven, he had almost none with more than nine. And you definitely want, guys, look, if you're only a 14-team league and you're struggling at running back, you just want to throw someone in there to get you 7-8 points, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Right.
So
who's more likely to score a touchdown in a given week?
I would say Edwards, but they both had about the same amount of touchdowns.
Look, I think it's a gross percentage. I think it's going to be unlikely that they do it, but I think Edwards is probably a little more likely to score than Latavius. Latavius is a league winner if Alvin Kamara misses time.
Yeah.
Gus isn't quite, he quite doesn't have that type of upside. But he'd be, if J.K. Dobbins missed time, Gus would be pretty darn good.
I would assume, are we just saying that because Drew Brees is gone, so the Saints aren't going to score as many touchdowns?
That the Gus Edwards versus Latavius touchdown thing?
My assumption is, and I don't know how many touchdowns, I mean, I'm looking right now. My assumption is that Latavius has scored at a higher rate than Gus Edwards.
I mean, not last year. Edwards had 6 and Murray had 4. Well, okay. That's rushing.
I'm not even sure if Latavius Murray had enough like short yardage carries to compare with Gus.
Well, 2 years ago, Latavius had 6 and Gus had 2.
What short yardage carries?
Touchdowns.
Oh, sure. two years ago,
Latavius has 11 and Gus has 8.
Last year, Gus was four for six from a yard out.
But I think 2 years ago, you know, that was the year that Kamara got banged up and missed some time. So I think you'd have to look at how many he scored when Kamara was playing and Edwards has never really had that opportunity. He did a little bit, right? He had 1 or 2 games this past year where he was the guy. Or am I wrong about that?
No, I think that's right.
And he had 2018 when Lamar Jackson was the starter. He had like 8 games as the guy, basically.
And he scored 2 touchdowns.
So there you go.
Look, these guys aren't great, but these are the types of running backs that are going to be staring you in the face when the James Conners of the world are off the board. This is round. These are the running backs in rounds 9+.
Let's see who else is in these rounds.
I think all of mine were after round 10.
Okay. All right. So let's go to like pick 120. We're looking at Jamal Williams, Gus Edwards, Devin Singletary, Madison, McKissick, Latavius, Kenneth Gainwell, Darrell Henderson, Philip Lindsay, Tariq Cohen. That's interesting. Rashad Penny, Chuba Hubbard, James White. So
you can make the case for a handful of guys in that list.
Bernard, Damian Williams, Ramondre Stevenson, Daryl Williams, Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman maybe has the best chance of being a starter.
Yeah, he's a zero RB target for sure.
Okay, good stuff. All right, we got to get to our wide receivers. It's also U.S. Open week, and the First Cut Golf Podcast has all your needs covered as the world's best golfers travel to Torrey Pines. They are on the scene in California all week to give you daily fantasy advice, the best picks and props, and round-by-round analysis. So listen to the First Cut wherever podcasts are found, or you can stream every episode of the First Cut on YouTube. Fun. Wide receivers. Heath, who are your wide receiver sleepers?
My wide receiver sleepers are T.Y. Hilton and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So just two guys in exactly the same situation and stage of their career. Hilton's current ADP is the end of round 12. And I would like to see Michael Pittman take a step forward and be the number one wide receiver on the Colts, but again, I don't think that should be a foregone conclusion. Their ADP is not particularly close. St. Brown is still, I think, the best route-running wide receiver that the Lions have and the only one who's equipped to run the types of short area routes that Jared Goff has historically targeted. So like, he's not going to go deep like Tyrell Williams or Quintez Cephas or Breshad Perriman, but he can do something that those guys don't do. And it's the only thing that Jared Goff's really done well in the NFL.
You know how I've told you before that negative reports out of minicamp are never a good thing.
Yeah.
Apparently Breshad Perriman has been not good at Lions camp, which is a shocker to anybody that's ever had Breshad Perriman in a fantasy lineup, save for the last 4 games of.
Next thing you're gonna tell me is he dropped passes.
I don't know. I don't know if I read that about him, but your boy Tyrell, better call him. He's been playing well in camp, and St. Brown has been playing well in camp. They said that he's fitting in. So those guys and Cephas has also been making plays. That might be your 3 receiver set with Hockenson at tight end. So I'm with you on St. Brown. I'm with you on T.Y. as well. I think getting him as a late pick to be on your bench and use him as a fill-in replacement, as a flex or as a wide receiver, I think you could do a hell of a lot worse than that.
Well, the last 6 games of the year for Hilton, he was a top 12 wide receiver. In fact, he was 6th in non-PPR. He was 11th in PPR. He had 5 touchdowns, was on pace for 72 catches, 1,160 yards, and 13 touchdowns on 115 targets. That was his last 6 games of the year. So who would you rather have, Hilton or St. Brown?
Hilton. I feel much more confident that Hilton's going to be someone that I might plug him in as a flex week 1. St. Brown, I'm going to need to see something before I'm going to trust him in my lineup.
All right, let's go back to conversation we had earlier. Would you rather have a Jets wide receiver or St. Brown? I asked the tough question.
I don't think anybody wants to admit to taking a Jets receiver, like under any circumstances. But I've got to take Crowder ahead of him at this point.
No Corey Davis? Are you saying you take Crowder over Davis?
Yeah, I think I probably would. I've got
Crowder over Davis currently.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, especially if Corey Davis has to share targets with all these other receivers. I really want to take Elijah Moore, man, but I'm nervous about just how many targets he'll get.
How dumb am I? Can be honest.
Barry.
Going with Amari Rodgers over Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I don't know if that's necessarily dumb.
No, it isn't. It's quite genius.
Well, they're kind of the same guy, right? We're talking about rookie slot receivers who are good route runners and have good hands coming into the league. One is going to theoretically catch passes from Aaron Rodgers, and the other one's going to catch passes from Jared Goff.
Very similar.
Right. I mean,
if you took Davante Adams out of the equation, does Rodgers still have more competition for targets?
No.
Like, Alan Lazard's far more accomplished than Quintez Cephas. I guess Tyrell's more accomplished than MVS, but they're basically the same guy.
But you've got Hockenson. Like, if you took Adams, okay, if you take the two teams, I think Adams obviously gets the most targets, and I think Hockenson gets the next most. And then maybe Swift. Like, Swift will be up there.
Jones might be up there.
Well, as I say, the Packers throw 150 times a year to their running backs, so. My only concern with Rodgers is I'm just not sure, especially if he goes an offseason without ever meeting his new quarterback. Just not sure how he's going to beat out Lazard and MVS in Aaron Rodgers' mind.
Well, just because he has a different role.
Is the three receiver set for Green Bay involving Rodgers?
It's been involving putting Adams in the slot, right?
Right. So if the three receiver set is Adams for sure, and when they're healthy, Lazard and MVS, how often are we going to see Rodgers on the field?
Not week one. I think it's, hopefully week four or five, he starts getting more playing time.
And if that's the case, then I'd rather spend the draft capital on somebody who I would hope to hit pay dirt with before week four or
five. There's nothing worse than drafting a rookie wide receiver and then cutting them early in the season only to see them go on and post a 1,400-yard season in their rookie year on someone else's team.
When Peyton Barber is on the waiver wire, pick up Peyton Barber, okay? Dave, let's get your wide receiver sleepers here. And they are, did we talk about Paris Campbell? No, we did not. Antonio Brown and Paris Campbell. Antonio Brown going 110th, Paris Campbell 191st. So Antonio Brown, how realistic do you think it would be for him to be the best wide receiver on the Bucs?
On a per-game basis, I don't think it's going to happen, not unless there's an injury. But I think he can work as a great number three receiver for a fantasy squad. I think you should draft him to be that. He averaged 14.1 PPR points per game. That was 23rd best among all wide receivers last year. If you include the playoffs, he had 13 or more PPR points. Again, not 15, but 13 in 7 of 11 games with Brady. I think that's a pretty good jumping-off point. He had at least 6 targets in 5 of his last 8 or 5 of his 8 regular season games. He's lining up wide. I wonder if he adds the slot role to what he does a little bit more. And teams are just in a massive bind defensively when they take on Tampa Bay, because you can't double Evans, you can't double Godwin, you can't double Brown. If you do, you're leaving one of those other guys wide open, and it's going to be a nightmare situation. And he proved that he wasn't like a shell of himself at all once he got rolling last year.
Right. Well, let's see the wide receivers going around Antonio Brown. That would be Jalen Waddle, Michael Pittman.
Yeah, I'll take Brown over those guys.
Yeah, Brown would have been on my sleeper list if I didn't let Dave go first.
How about Jarvis Landry or Antonio Brown?
Yeah, I'll take everybody we've talked about so far, I think, over Jarvis Landry.
I would take T.Y. over Landry.
Okay. Same. Okay.
I would not take Amon-Ra St. Brown over Landry. That's a bridge too far.
T.Y. Hilton or Antonio Brown?
Brown.
Same.
All right, Michael Pittman. What do you think?
Nope, nope.
What?
I don't think he's on the sleepers list.
What do you mean?
I thought you were talking about Dave's sleepers.
I am. Oh, wait.
We can talk about Pittman if you want, but he's not the Colts that I would pick.
I said Michael Pittman. I meant Paris Campbell. They're both on the Colts.
You could draft them both and do ye old friendship strategy between the two of them.
No
and
thanks.
A pessimist might say, well, why would you bother drafting them both when you can just draft Pittman and not even bother with Campbell because he doesn't play that much anyway. Campbell's had a lot of injuries that he's had to come back from. And I love the talent still. I love the slot role. I went back and I checked how often Carson Wentz threw to his receivers in the slot over the past four seasons. The targets went to the slot receiver 30.5% of the time at the least. Some of the seasons were over a third of the time. So you balance it about 3 of every 10 throws that Wentz makes going into the slot. I'll take that for somebody like Paris Campbell, who gets a bunch of short area targets, and he's explosive, or at least he was before the injuries. And I think the reports out of camp are mostly positive. And you can get him for free on draft day. He's literally one of your last three picks. You could probably take some DSTs ahead of Paris Campbell and still find Paris Campbell available to take in your leagues.
Well, those are some sleepers for you. We've got your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And we've got the live show tonight. Don't forget about that. Live show tonight on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Stick around for the end of it. Maybe we'll see if Paris Campbell gets drafted. It is, in fact, a PPR league with three wide receivers and a flex. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll read your emails.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
To the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
We are emailing. Here we go. Again, it's fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That is the letter I. This is from Scott. Hey, Evans, Hemsworth, Pine, and Pratt. Sound like Marvel men, no?
Chris's.
Or Chris's.
Oh, they're Chris's? Okay. Isn't Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pratt, aren't they both superheroes?
Yes.
Okay.
Chris Evans is too.
I don't know who Chris Evans is. Who's that?
I don't know who Chris Pine is.
Chris Evans, Bengals running back?
It's definitely not.
America.
Oh,
Captain
okay.
America is okay. Chris Evans.
Chris Pine, I don't believe is in a Marvel movie.
Who is he?
He's an actor.
Chris Pine is the voice of Spider-Man in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
These are all Chris's and they're all superheroes. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
they play superheroes. I don't think they are, actually.
No, at least three of them are. I've been
this
thinking.
This must be a question about Chris Carson.
It's about Chris Godwin.
A superhero fantasy running back.
I've been thinking a lot about Chris Godwin, says Scott. He's currently wide receiver 15 in Fantasy Pros ADP. He's six spots behind Mike Evans. Mike Evans is top 10 in ADP. I don't believe you. I haven't heard him receive much love or excitement from the group on this podcast. I decided to do a little bit of a deep dive because he was all the rage going into last season after a top two finish in 2019. Here's what I found. His 17-game pace using 2020 stats would be 92 catches, just under 1,200 yards, and 10 touchdowns. His 17-game pace using his 2020 stats from week 10 on, when Antonio Brown was in the fold, 90 catches, 1,262 yards, and 12 touchdowns. That really? That doesn't seem... Oh, maybe, because week 17, he had a huge game. He was heavily targeted in the red zone, scored the last 3 weeks of the season. General consensus is that the Bucs offense will be even better in year two with Tom Brady. I understand there are a lot of mouths to feed on this team, but are we just overlooking the reasons we were so excited about Godwin going into 2020? Why isn't he mostly the same guy? Isn't he a steal right now as a wide receiver too?
I think he can return value as a wide receiver too, with upside to be top 12. He finished in PPR points per game as wide receiver 15. That's pretty good. But when it came to targets, he was wide receiver 34, 7 targets per game. I think we're looking for a little bit more than that to put him in the top 12 solidly. But I like him, and I think a lot of people like him, and I think a lot of people are happy to draft him as a quality number two receiver. Or if you go heavy on other positions early, you get him to be your wide receiver one.
This is a challenge when you project on a team basis a situation like this. And I actually pulled back on some of the efficiency basically across the board for the Bucs, because if I projected them all for their typical efficiency, Tom Brady might be QB1.
Sure. Right.
Because I'd have to have him at like 6,000 yards passing. So I don't know. Like, I don't necessarily disagree with anything he said. And I have Godwin projected even lower than I think where the consensus is, and I don't like it. But we just talked about Antonio Brown as a great sleeper, and we think he's a number three wide receiver. And I think Mike Evans is a borderline number two or a number three wide receiver. And I don't think they're going to stop throwing the ball to O.J. Howard and Rob Gronkowski. And Tom Brady still threw it to his running backs last year when most of his running backs couldn't catch. So maybe they'll throw 700 passes and Tom Brady will be QB1. But it's hard to project it that way.
Yeah, and one of the issues with the numbers that were given in the email is, one, it doesn't include week 9 when Antonio Brown did play and Chris Godwin had 3 catches for 41 yards. And then, for what it's worth, you know, week 17, Mike Evans left early with an injury, and you're looking at 5 catches, 133 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That was by far the best game that Chris Godwin had in the 8 regular season games with Antonio Brown. It was the one where Evans was out. So you gotta factor. I think you have to factor those things in. This is from Alexander. 12-team PPR league. We need to keep 3 players, but you can only keep 2 in the same position. Who should I keep? Mixon, Edwards-Helaire, Akers, James Robinson, Deontay Johnson, Julio Jones, Mark Andrews, and Russell Wilson. So again, we can keep 3, but no more than 2 of any position. You want to say the names again? Mixon, Edwards-Helaire, Akers, Robinson, James Robinson, Deontay Johnson, Julio Jones, Mark Andrews, Russell Wilson, PPR.
I would keep Mixon, Akers, and Andrews.
I think Akers is a must. And if you are thinking of just this year, or maybe you can only keep them for a year, Mixon over Edwards-Helaire makes sense. If you're thinking long-term, maybe you throw back Mixon to go with Edwards-Helaire. It depends on the rules of the league and how often you can, or how long you can keep guys for. If it's for their entire careers, the prospect of keeping Edwards-Helaire with Akers as your two running back keepers forever and ever, that looks good to me. That seems good to me. And it would be cool to have that tight end advantage with Andrews. And I think maybe along those same lines, just thinking long-term with your keepers, if you can go long-term, he makes sense over Julio in that regard. And Deontay Johnson's probably not going to match what he did last year.
Okay. This is, don't have a name. No name or city, Dave.
It is Barbara from Glenview, Illinois.
10-team Dynasty League, half PPR. I'm a young team with picks 101 and 103. I have McCaffrey, Dobbins, Lamb, Dak, Kittle, Lockett, and Fuller. And 101 and 103. Would you trade McCaffrey for Antonio Gibson, pick 104, pick 310, and T. Higgins? Or am I good enough to win now?
I actually responded to this email, which I don't do very often. So I probably wouldn't, because I think if you have this team and you have a chance to have Dak, McCaffrey, Dobbins, and either Harris or ETN, Lamb, Chase, Lockett, and Fuller, and Kittle. I think that is a contender this year.
Okay, yeah.
I can't pass up the trade. I think the offer is fantastic. And I love Christian McCaffrey, but aren't you getting future Christian McCaffrey with Antonio Gibson?
Another thing I think that matters is it's a 10-team league. It's not difficult in a 10-team league to drive yourself insane by having six number two running backs and six number two wide receivers and starting the wrong one every week.
It's a very good point.
Studs are more valuable in a 10-team league than they are in a 12-team league.
All right, this is from Bruce. Where's Bruce from?
Bruce is from Syracuse, New York.
Am I okay to believe in Zach Ertz and AJ Green at their ADP? You can basically get Ertz and Green for nothing.
Next to nothing. Excellent players that you could draft with one of your last picks and kick to the curb if they're doing nothing by week three.
Can I just take one word out of what Dave said?
Excellent.
Excellent.
Can we just say these are players that you can take with one of your last picks? I like Ertz more than Green.
Okay.
Same.
I think Dave influenced me a little bit with his stat about AJ Green, that he had the lowest on target percentage of pass, whatever.
Right.
What would you say?
Lowest percentage of catchable targets. Of any receiver with 100 plus targets last year.
Basically was set up for failure. So it made me think a little bit.
Yeah, that would influence me more if it wasn't for the fact that he'd played 9 games in 2 years before that. And he, like, his yards per catch, which isn't affected by catch rate at all, fell all the way to 11.1.
Can I tell you how it affected me? It made me go with Diggs over Hopkins, because Diggs has had basically zero added competition, and Hopkins has had
Emmanuel Sanders.
I mean, that technically
good,
that's not true.
Camp reports.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that at this point we should say AJ Green is more competition than Emmanuel Sanders.
No, but there's Rondale Moore too. So
that's true. That's true.
It's a little bit more competition there. From Kyle. Kyle is from
Boulder, Colorado.
You guys discuss volume versus being in a committee. For example, we don't think Akers, Mixon, or Najee Harris will be splitting much of the touches with their backups. However, we think J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, and Jonathan Taylor will be splitting carries somewhat with their backups. So give some advice to drafters. Do we go with the volume or the running back who's going to get 15 touches but split work?
Generally volume.
Volume, right?
The difference is with Dobbins and Jacobs and Chubb, and Dobbins probably more than the other two, like, you can deal with the splits work guy more if he's going to catch 60 plus passes. It's hard to be a splits work guy with 20 catches. Now, Chubb's done it, but you have to be like score once every 10 touches and average 5.5 yards per or 6 yards per carry to get that done.
You want to have efficiency. You want to have the goal line role. I think those are two things that Jonathan Taylor will have that sets him apart. And Dobbins would have it if he didn't have a rushing quarterback to play off of. But then again, I don't know if he'd be as efficient if he didn't have a rushing quarterback to play off of.
But even Taylor's going to catch probably twice as many passes as Dobbins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they run the ball so much. I mean, so Kyle from Boulder said Taylor is going to be splitting carries somewhat. I'm not sure that we feel that way. Somewhat is a very vague term, but in a meaningful
ADP
way,
does not feel that way at all.
Who that? Who?
ADP.
One more time.
Average draft position.
Oh, ADP. Sorry, it was cutting out a little.
That's okay.
Yeah, right. I don't know how much of a threat we think Marlon Mack is. We don't think Nyheim Hines is a threat to his carries, Taylor's carries. So I wouldn't put him in the same group as J.K. Dobbins, you know.
Sure not.
Right, correct.
And like, that's another, it matters how many total opportunities we think the running backs are going to get. Like, even though Baltimore is a run heavy team, they're not going to have as many running back carries plus targets as the Colts or the 49ers or hopefully the Lions.
Good show, guys. Thank you very much. Good sleepers. Make sure you're checking out FFT and 5, by the way. A little 5-minute preview of what's to come. And not to mention, we do have some shows that aren't tied to our full-length episodes. Like, we'll have Jacob Gibbs back on to give some awesome advanced stats on a couple of players this week. I think we've got Devontae Smith as one of them. It might be a couple of rookie wide receivers that we're going a little deep dive on FFT and 5. So just check out Fantasy Football Today and 5. We will see you Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Bye.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.